This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. This is our third lecture about the Day of Judgment. I had mentioned in the last lecture around 25 names. We had concluded that these are ijtihadi because in the end of the day, there's a lot of descriptions in the Quran preceded by the term yawm. And you want to call the Day of Judgment yawma yaqumun nasu rabbil alameen. I said it's an ijtihad, it's a description more than a name. Yawma la yamliku nafsu li nafsin shay'a, yawma la yanfa'u malun wala banun, yawmun la maradda lahu min Allah, yawmun la bay'un fihi wala khullatun wala shafa'a, yawmun la rayba fihi. All of these are descriptions of Judgment Day. Some have added them to names, but I restricted to what I felt was more, if you like, a proper noun. Now, we will move on inshallah today, and we will begin very briefly by setting the stage. Believe it or not, our last two lectures were completely introductory. That's just the introduction. We haven't even begun because we're talking about precursors. So from today onwards, we will begin the actual Judgment Day. And I want to set it up by laying out the table of contents. What's going to happen on Judgment Day? Well, the scholars have mentioned 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 things. And as we will discuss, some of these are mentioned with different nouns. Are they two separate things or are they the same things that are being described differently? That's one issue. The other issue is the tartib or the order of all of these 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 things. And that is another issue because the order is not mentioned in the Quran or Sunnah. So for example, there's going to be mizan, and there's going to be the hald, and there's going to be ard, and there's going to be the hisab. Which order? We have to kind of make an educated guess usually, because it makes sense that the hald is a place where you're going to get thirsty, the righteous are going to drink from it, right? And so that's going to take place obviously after the resurrection. So we try to piece it together, but in the end of the day, there is no explicit evidence for the order of all of these things. So keep this point in mind. So what are the table of contents for our next, inshallah, Allah knows how many lectures. One of the things I like about today's lecture, there's no time limit. So I can take my time and go into detail, and that's why I love these series that we're doing. Otherwise, any khutbah, any other lecture I give, I have to look at the watch and always finish the whole topic. So alhamdulillah, we will take our time, and this is a new class for me as well, meaning I've never taught it to this detail, so I love to go into extra detail. So one of the great scholars of theology, his name was As-Saffarini. He wrote a number of books about theology, and his books are very descriptive, some of the most descriptive books of theology, especially when it comes to the Day of Judgment. As-Saffarini mentioned there's going to be 8 things on the Day of Judgment, and he lists them. And I'll quickly go over them, and then I'll add some more. Number one, Al-Ba'th, which is the resurrection. Number two, An-Nushur, which is when you come out of your grave, you're going to run helter-skelter, you're going to be nasharas to run around. Number three, Al-Hashr, which is the gathering. Number four, Al-Qiyam, or Qiyamah itself, the standing up. Number five, Al-Ard, which is the showing of the deeds. Number six, the judgment itself on the right or the left hand. You're going to be given the Hisab. Number six is the giving, number six. Number seven, he said the Hisab, okay? And number eight, he said Al-Mizan, the scales, the setting up of the scales. He didn't put it in order. He's just saying these are 8 things that are mentioned. So وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْ, we're going to place the scales. So the placing of the scales is one of the things on Judgment Day, for example. Now, in this list, he actually did not mention many things. Of them is going to be our topic for today, the blowing of the trumpet, which will happen on Qiyamah. Of them, he did not mention something that is in the Quran, and that is the coming of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Allah and the angels will come lined up in rows. This is on Judgment Day. He also did not mention the beatific vision, which is the English term for the ru'ya, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not mention the shafa'ah. It's not mentioned in his list, and the shafa'ah will form a huge topic in our series, inshallah ta'ala. He did not mention the hawd, and the hawd is translated as the sister. Or the pool, cistern, not sister, cistern, C-I-S-T-E-R-N, which is a pool of water, the cistern. He did not mention the sirat. He did not mention the wurud, which we'll talk about, and he didn't mention the qantara, which is will be our final lecture, because we know in one hadith, the qantara is the final plain before the gates of heaven. There is an open area before the gates of Jannah. To the back is Jahannam, and to the front is Jannah. And there will be a mini hisab on the qantara, as we're going to talk about, jumping the gun here. So there is something called the qantara, and that qantara is the end stage of the day of judgment. And if you pass the qantara, khalas, you're in. Okay? So there's a phrase in Arabic, yani tajawuz al-qantara. It's like, okay, he's in. Because once you pass that, alhamdulillah, there's no going back. But the qantara is still, there will be some people pushed back in. There will be some people, Jahannam is right behind them, and so they manage to cross over, but there are certain things they have to deal with, so we're going to get to that when we get. So he doesn't mention those ones, and that's what we will be doing. So this is the brief table of contents for, inshallah ta'ala, the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, however long that we take in this series. May Allah give us life and beneficial knowledge. Jayyid, let us begin, inshallah. And what is the first thing that will happen on Judgment Day? The trumpet. That's going to be our topic for today. Of course, you knew because of the flyer as well. That will be our topic for today, the trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet. The blowing of the trumpet is mentioned exactly 10 times in the Quran. I'm not going to go over everyone. It's just mentioned 10 times in the Quran. And in all of these 10, I should say, it is mentioned specifically 10 times and indirectly more than 10. So let me rephrase. Explicitly 10 times and implicitly more than 10. And the explicit phrase is always with نُفِخَ فِي الصُّور or يَنْفُخُ فِي الصُّور. This is the explicit phrase, right? And of them is Surah Taha, verse 102, وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّور. On that day, there will be نَفَخ of the sur. Surah Yasin, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. Surah Al-An'am 73, which is the first time that Nafkh Sur is mentioned in the Quran. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ قَوْلُهُ الْحَقِّ وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Powerful verse. You go read it, look it up. Surah Al-An'am, verse 73. Very powerful verse. Smack in the middle. Allah says, to him shall be the kingdom, to him shall be the power, the day that the trumpet will be blown. So the one who controls that day controls every day before and after. وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. To him belongs the kingdom, the day the trumpet shall be blown. And the whole verse is a powerful praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. What is a sur? Two opinions. Imam al-Tabari mentions them in his famous tafsir in this verse, Surah An'am 73. He says that the first opinion is that a sur is a trumpet. And we all know what a trumpet is. Now, in those days, trumpets would be typically used in the horns of animals. In our times, we create trumpets with metal and whatnot. In those days, they would use horns of the animals, the, you know, curled, especially the ram's horn was very common, and they would choose the right horn and make the right hole in it. And so that would be the asur. And this is the majority position. And there is another opinion as well. And At-Tabari ascribes this to Ibn Abbas. And this opinion is that as-sur is the plural of surah. And surah means image of a man. So, وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ, the day that the souls will be rebreathed into the bodies of men and women. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. So Ibn Abbas said, according to At-Tabari, that a sur is surah, the surah, the jism of a person. So it's as if he's kind of not negating the trumpet, but he's interpreting nafkhatu sur as being blowing the ruh into the man, the image of the man himself. However, this second opinion has essentially been discarded after that era, and no major scholar, to the best of my knowledge, has ever held this opinion. And that is because both the Quran and Sunnah seem to be very explicit that the sur is an actual trumpet and not the images of men or the shapes of men that Allah is saying. And on that day, because the second translation would be, and on that day, the souls will be breathed into the images of men again. That's how it translates, if you were to take Ibn Abbas's interpretation. And by the way, this shows you, subhanAllah, I mean, if anybody had said this interpretation in our time, immediate, this guy is this and that, a'udhu billah. Ibn Abbas is interpreting. If you go back to the actual books, if you actually study, and I have said this a million times, the more you study, the more tolerant you become. The more you learn, the more broad-minded. And the most dangerous thing to Islam is a half-educated semi-talib al-ilm. Semi, just reading a little bit, has read one fatwa or one book, and he says, khalas, it's either this or else you are dal, mudil, kafir. The more you read, the more you see the diversity of our religion. Ibn Abbas held the position. He had an ijtihad. Are you going to say anything about Ibn Abbas? This is his position. And it linguistically makes sense, nufkha fitsur, and he's thinking about the souls being rebreathed into the images of men. Nonetheless, with our utmost respect to Ibn Abbas, and everybody after him basically disagreed with this interpretation, they said a sur is an actual trumpet. What is the evidence for this? Multiple evidences. Of them, explicit a hadith. Most famous amongst them is Sunan al-Tirmidhi, hadith number 3244. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said that once a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, what is the sur? What is a sur? Masur. He said, قَرْنٌ يُنْفَخُ فِيهِ. It is a horn. قَرْن is like the horn of an animal. Okay? قَرْنٌ يُنْفَخُ فِيهِ. It is the horn of basically qarn, animal. I mean, I'm putting an animal. The word qarn is the Arabic word for the horn of an animal. Okay, so it is an actual horn that will be blown into. That's quite explicit. You can't get more explicit than this. It's actual hadith, very simple. Ya Rasulullah, what is the sur? It is a horn that you blow into. You can't get more explicit than that. But there's also evidences in the Quran itself. And of them, some of our scholars pointed out that Allah says in the Quran, that ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then it shall be blown into it again. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Now, the souls will not enter on Judgment Day twice. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Allah is not going to take the soul, bring it out, bring it back in again on Judgment Day. How can there be a second time of re-entering the soul on Judgment Day? Doesn't make sense. Also, technical here, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ in the masculine. And again, you should all know, Arab and non-Arab, that the Arabic language has feminine and masculine, correct? Everybody should know this, right? And the nouns in English, we don't have that. And قَرْن is masculine, and surah is feminine. So had it been, we will blow the ruh into the bodies, it should have been نُفِخَ فِيهَا. But Allah says, فِيهِ. There's something masculine. And the masculine is the trumpet or the horn. Okay? So it's quite clear. I'm just going into details here. It's quite clear that the qarn is in fact the blowing of the trumpet. It's not the re-entering of the souls into the bodies of men. And the blowing of the trumpet is mentioned 10 times in the Quran explicitly, and over a dozen ahadith mention the concept of it as well very explicitly. Of them is the famous hadith Muttafaq Ali Bukhari and Muslim, the highest level of authenticity, in which Abu Huraira narrated that one day a Jewish person was selling a piece of merchandise, and a Muslim man purchased it from him, but he gave him a smaller price. He's trying to negotiate. He gave him a smaller price. So the Jewish man said, "La walladhi istafa Musa 'ala al-bashar." No way I'm going to sell this to you for this price. And I swear the qasam by the one who chose and preferred Musa over all of mankind. He's making a qasam. There is no way this sale is going to go forth. You know, I'm not going to be skanked here. You're going to pay me more than this. So when he said, I swear by the one who chose Musa over all of mankind, one of the Ansar stood up and slapped him across the face and said, how dare you say the one who chose Musa over mankind and the Prophet is alive amongst us? You should have said what? The one who chose the Prophet, that's what he's trying to say. How dare you say this? Okay? And this shows us sometimes this oversensitiveness, which is very common in, should I say it, which culture? In our culture, in particular, in our country for some reason, Allahu musta'an, the smallest thing is read into. The guy did not clearly intend any disrespect. He's a Jewish person. What do you expect him to say? I mean, what is his qasam going to be? He's merely praising his prophet in a manner that he believes in, right? And subhanAllah, yani, this notion of ultra-fanaticism has always been in the one. It's nothing new. So the man slapped him across the face. SubhanAllah, where did this Jewish person go to complain? To the prophets. Imagine this hadith here, you know? The very person whose honor allegedly is being disputed. It's not. The guy did not intend any disrespect. He's a Jewish person. He got angry. He swore the way he knows how to. Qasam, he gave it. This is not going to happen. And somebody ultra sensitive smack across the face. Well, at least he smacked him. These days they take him to the Supreme Court and rid the accusation and go into exile in Canada. But anyway, that's besides the point. So this Jewish person went straight to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Ya Abul Qasim," because the Jews would address him with his kunya. "Ya Abul Qasim, I am a person who has protection and honor from you. I have dhimma, I have ahd. In other words, I'm a citizen." It's our language. "I'm a citizen. How can I be slapped by one of the people here?" Notice he is complaining directly to the Prophet ﷺ. How can you do this? So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Why did he slap your face?" So the man was called and he explained. He's trying to defend himself. "Ya Rasulullah, he said this and I defended and whatnot." So the Prophet ﷺ became angry until the redness was clear in his. This hadith is Bukhari Muslim, by the way. It's not some obscure book. This is in our most important traditions. His face became red. And he said, "La tufaddilu bayna awliya illa," or in one version, "bayna anbiya illa." Do not have this argument who is better than each other between the anbiya of Allah. Don't go down this route. Do not go down this route of each prophet is better than the other. Don't do this, because when the trumpet will be blown, فَيُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. This is the whole reason I'm bringing this hadith, is this one. When the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and earth will fall down unconscious. The Prophet is reciting a verse in the Quran. صَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. This is in the Quran. So he's saying this phrase, which we're going to mention later on. And then it will be blown again. And I will be the first to raise my head. I'll be the first to come out of the grave. And I will see Musa already holding on to one of the stools or one of the pillars of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so I do not know. Was the first time that he fainted enough that he doesn't have to faint again? Or did I actually resurrect? Was I resurrected before him, or was he resurrected before me? Now, the point of this hadith is very deep. You understand why I mention it. He mentions the phrase trumpet being blown. That's why we mention it. But the hadith is very interesting. So remember, Musa fainted in this world. When he asked to see Allah, he fell down. We will learn today's lecture and also next, inshallah, Wednesday's lecture, that the Quran mentions that when the trumpet is blown, all who are in the heavens and earth will fall unconscious in a faint. Right? So صَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. صَعِقَ means to lose consciousness. And فَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقَ. The same word is used for Musa. Musa fell, صَعِقَ. The Prophet is saying, when I get out of the qabr and I think I'm the first person, I will see Musa ahead of me. I will see Musa already in sajda holding on to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he's telling the Muslim, you do not know who is better. Even though we know who is better, which is another point, by the way, right? I should mention this later on. Let me finish this hadith. He is saying, he's right now, the Jewish person is here, the Muslim person is here. And he is saying something to make the both of them realize, especially the Muslim, because the Jewish man did not say anything wrong from his perspective. Whereas the Muslim man is getting angry. How dare you praise Musa? Smack! And the Prophet is so angry at the Muslim for his overzealousness that his face is bright red. إِحْمَرَّ وَجْهُهُ, which is a sign the Prophet would only get that angry very rarely. And he said, do not do this. Do not put us above the other. Then he said, when I get out of the qabr, I will see Musa ahead of me. His hand will be on the every chair has the pegs. His hand will be on the peg of Allah's throne, and I do not know. Was his first sa'iq a cause for his exemption, that he did not fall down in sa'iq when the trumpet was blown? Or was he resurrected before me and he made his way there? I don't know. But there is one blessing that he has that I don't have, and that he's going to be already there. Okay, so that's the hadith, and from it we learn there is something called the trumpet being blown. In Sahih Muslim, we learn, and a long hadith, the phrase that is what we need to know. In Sahih Muslim, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that the trumpet will be blown, and everyone who hears the trumpet, they will turn their head to the direction of the sound, and their heads will go towards that sound in an attempt to listen to the trumpet. And the first person to hear it, this hadith in Sahih Muslim, will be a man who is busy preparing water to feed his camel. You know, there's a trough of water, you put it for the camel. He's preparing his water to feed his camel, and he will fall dead on top of that water, and all the people will fall dead after him. So this is graphic, vivid detail. There's going to be a trumpet, and the everybody's going to look, trying to find where is that noise coming from. And then the first person to hear is going to be this shepherd type of person, and he will fall down. In another hadith in Muslim Imam Ahmad and other books, our Prophet ﷺ said, the day of judgment will not occur. The day of judgment will occur when two men will spread a garment in front of them, the buyer and the seller, but the trumpet will be blown before they can buy and sell, before the garment is picked up. And the hour will not be established until a man has milked the she-camel and taken away the milk, but he will not be able to drink it. And the hour will be established when a man is repairing a tank for his, the water trough here, and his animal will not drink from it, meaning he has it ready, but the animal will not drink from it. And the hour will be established when a person has raised a morsel of food to his mouth, and he will not be able to eat it. And this is referenced in the Quran, وَمَا أَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. The day of judgment is like the twinkling of an eye. It's going to come suddenly. And Allah says in the Quran, تَأْتِيهِمْ بَغْتَ. It's going to come all of a sudden. There is no warning for the trumpet to come. This is explicit in the Quran and the Sunnah. The first trumpet that will be blown, there is no warning signal. There's no test message. It's going to come so suddenly, the person has the merchandise, the buyer is bargaining, they're both going to die. And feeding the animal, both gonna die. Raising the food, raising the milk, both gonna die. Nobody's gonna get anything. That's how suddenly it is going to come. So all of these evidences clearly demonstrate the blowing of a trumpet. Actual trumpet. A sound is gonna be heard. Also, Allah mentions in the Quran, sayhatan. And sayha is a loud noise. So this is one of the indirect, I said 10 explicit nufiqa fi sur and many indirect. Of the indirect ones is sayha, and also nuqira fi naqur, and naqur again is the sound coming. So the day that the trumpet sound is going to come from the trumpets, as there's a bellowing coming. So these are indirect references that reference an actual noise, and this is the trumpet. Now, that's very clear from the Quran and Sunnah, there is a trumpet. Okay, who is in charge of this trumpet? Israfil. What is the evidence for this? Israfil is in charge of the trumpet. Where does Allah mention Israfil in the Quran? Is he mentioned in the Quran? Which angel is mentioned in the Quran? Man kana aduwa li Jibril wa Mikael and Malakul Maut. Israfil is not mentioned in the Quran. We know from authentic ahadith that the angel, that the trumpet has been assigned to one special angel. This is very clear. And this is in a hadith in Tirmidhi, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said one day the Prophet ﷺ came in a disturbed state. He was perturbed. And he said, كَيْفَ أَنْعُمْ. How can I relax? How can I relax? وَصَاحِبُ الصُّورِ قَدْ الْتَقَمَ وَأَصْغَى سَمْعَهُ وَحَنَّ جَبْهَتَهُ يَنْتَظْرُ مَتَى يُؤْمَرُ. How can I be calm when sahib as-sur, the one who has been assigned the trumpet, sahib, the companion. So there is a companion of the sur. And this hadith mentions there is a companion. How do you want me to relax when the one who has been assigned the trumpet has put it to his lips, and his ears are waiting, he's paying attention, and his forehead is looking in the direction, waiting for the command to come. In other words, how can I relax when the state of Sahib al-Sur is like this? The trumpet has now been raised to the lips, he is saying. Now, some ulama have derived it was raised at that time, and that's why he was disturbed. And that's a possibility. And others have said, no, but he is simply telling the Sahaba that the time is so close, how do I mean to relax? We don't know which of these two is there. Either it was raised at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning to the mouth, because he has the Sahib al-Sur has been assigned the trumpet from the beginning of time. When did he raise it to his mouth? Was it before? Was it during? Allahu alam. This is the only hadith we have, and both interpretations can be said. So he's saying, how can I relax when the companion of the trumpet has lifted it to his mouth? Iltaqama means put it. He's puckered it on. And his ears are paying attention, and his forehead is in the direction, waiting for the commandment to come. They said, O Messenger of Allah, what should we do? What do you command us to do? مَا تَأْمُرُنَا He said, say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ So this should be our constant dhikr. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ Say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ And in another hadith, reported by Musnad Imam Ahmad by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri wa fi isnadi Atiyat al-Awfi wa ma amruhu ma'ruf ruwiya that it is mentioned the Prophet ﷺ said that the Sahib al-Sur, the companion of the trumpet, again no name is mentioned, to his right is Jibreel and to his left is Mika'il. So in this hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad we learn that to the right is Jibreel, to the left is Mika'il. But the name of this companion is simply Sahib al-Sur, the companion of the trumpet. Now, interestingly enough, the name Israfil being associated with the trumpet is something that is not found in the Quran or in any of the authentic ahadith, the Kutub al-Sitta, Muslim Imam Ahmad, nothing is found there. However, it is found in tertiary sources in Israiliyat. It is also found in very dubious ahadith, as I said, in the tertiary sources, that Israfil is the one who is in charge of the trumpet. And yet, despite the fact that there's nothing authentic linking Israfil with the trumpet, yet this is the, not even majority, this is the accepted and default position of all of our scholars of Islam. It's a very interesting point because generally speaking, our theology is based upon the Quran and authentic Sunnah. And there are some exceptions. And this is, you can say, a derived exception. So, it is mentioned, it is mentioned by a number of ulama that there is unanimous consensus amongst the scholars that the name of the Sahib al-Sur is Israfil. Now, as for the name Israfil itself, it is mentioned in one authentic hadith. In one hadith, the name comes, but without what? Are you guys following me? Without the trumpet. His name comes. Which hadith is this, Akhana? Huh? Close, you got half of it, but alhamdulillah, you got the first half, which is the most important one. Abdurrahman ibn Auf said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, hadith is in Sahih Muslim, authentic hadith. I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, how did the Prophet ﷺ begin Salat al-Tahajjud? How did he begin Salat al-Tahajjud? And she said, when he would stand up for a layl, he would, Salat al-Tahajjud, Salat al-Layl, he would say, Allahumma, رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل فاطر السماوات والأرض عالم الغيب والشهادة أنت تحكم بين عبادك فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون اهدني لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم اللهم رب جبرائيل وميكائيل وإسرافيل mentioned right here. Okay, now by the way, before we move on to this, why these three angels are mentioned in this hadith and his tahajjud? Why Jibra'il, Mika'il, Israfil? Because Jibra'il is the one who brings the wahi, which is the ruh, the soul, the nourishment of the ruh. The Quran is the nourishment of the ruh. Mika'il is the one who is in charge of rain and food, and that is the nourishment of the body. And Israfil is in charge of the trumpet, which will once again bring the body back to life. Allahumma Rabb Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil. And Allah is the Rabb of these three angels. So we begin the salah, the Prophet would do that. Allahumma Rabb Jibra'il wa Mika'il wa Israfil. Each one of them brings something. Ibn Hajar is the one who said, I was looking for. Ibn Hajar said that note, he literally said, note, as I say footnote, he says, note, tanbih, note. It is something that is very commonly known that the Sahib al-Sur is Israfil. And some of our scholars, like Al-Hulaymi, who is one of the early Shafi'i scholars, he's a student of the student of Shafi'i, said there is ijma' on this point. Imam Al-Qurtubi, the famous Imam, the Mufassir of the Quran, Imam Al-Qurtubi said, our ulama say, Al-Umamu, all of the nations, not just Muslims, have agreed that the one who blows the trumpet is Israfil. So it's not just ijma' of the Muslims. It's ijma' of the Christians and Jews as well. And of course, Imam Al-Qurtubi. Where was Qurtubi from, guys? Qurtuba, mashallah, you guys are smart, mashallah, good. Qurtubi was from Qurtuba. Andalus, Qurtubi was from Qurtuba. And Qurtuba, of course, was Europe. And there were many Jews and Christians there. And that's why it's so interesting to study the history of Andalus. Maybe one day, inshallah, I've given lectures about that, but it's very interesting, and I take tours to Andalus as well because of this issue, because I believe Western Muslims have a lot to benefit and learn from the rise and fall, the pros and cons, and the interaction of Islam with the other civilizations and cultures, which is unique, because there were times when the majority of Andalus was not Muslim, and there were times when the majority was Muslim, and even when the majority was Muslim, the percentage of Christians and Jews was a large amount, 30-40%, for example, right? So Qurtubi is living in a multi cultural milieu. They are Europeans, they're Christians, they're Jews. So he is aware of other theologies as well. So he's bringing it, he's saying it's not just us Muslims who believe Israfil is the one who will blow in the trumpet. Even those umams also believe in this. And of course, by the way, this is true that Jewish and Christian folklore as well mentions Israfil. Israfil in the Judeo-Christian tradition is Raphael Israfil. For example, in the Babylonian Talmud, the three angels that come to Ibrahim are Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael. And in the New Testament, and this is just again for your information so that you can benefit that this is where these informations are found. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 6, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. With the trumpet of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50-53, long passage, but now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption, etc., etc. Behold, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, and the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. This is very explicit, even in the New Testament as well. Twinkling of an eye, وَمَا أَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ. The same phrase is mentioned, and the same phrase is mentioned over there. Obviously, because the source is the same. Yani there are nuggets in the Old and the New Testament that originate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know? The only way you know is if they match up with the Quran. We do not definitively say, but there are many things that are very, you know, explicit. وَلَقَدْ كَدَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. We wrote in the Psalms that the ibad that are righteous shall inherit the earth. And in the Psalms of David, verily know that the meek shall inherit the earth. It's quite explicit. So it's in the Quran, it's whatnot. So here we have this issue of the blowing of the trumpet in the New and the Old Testament. And also in the book of Revelations, by the way, it mentions seven trumpets will be blown, signaling the end of times. The Jewish people, as we know, they use a trumpet. And they call it a shofar, right? So they call it a shofar, which is the sur, yani the sur, shofar. And they use it for their religious services. When the month is announced, when the new year begins, for major ceremonies, and as well, even our Prophet ﷺ, he knew of this, as the hadith goes in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, that when he said to the Muslims, how should we call the people to prayer? So the Sahaba said, why don't we use the horn or the trumpet like the Jews do. It was something their Sharia allowed them to do. And another said, why don't we use the bells like the Christians until Allah revealed the dream about the adhan. So all of this to say, the blowing of the trumpet and its association with Israfil are some things that are common to all three Abrahamic religions. And the Quran is very clear about the first. As for the second, the Muslims have simply accepted it, even though, interestingly enough, Israfil is not explicitly linked with the trumpet in any verse or in any authentic hadith. But our scholars have just accepted it, and this is an interesting point. Okay, our next point today, and we're not going to be able to finish this point, so I'm going to have to cut it in half. Our next point today is the major controversy, which is, how many times will the trumpet be blown? How many times? Everybody agrees that the trumpet will be blown more than once. There is no ikhtilaf, that there's not just one trumpet being blown. Everybody agrees. Why does everybody agree there's more than one trumpet? Because it's in the Quran, very clearly. So for example, Surah Az-Zumur 68 is the most explicit example. Surah Az-Zumur 68. Pay attention with me. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. We're going to come back to this verse over and over again. Pay attention with me. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ. The trumpet will be blown. فَصَعِقَ صَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. All who are in the heavens and earth will fall down unconscious. إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except those whom Allah has willed will not fall unconscious. What did our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ say? I don't know. Is Musa amongst this exceptional clause here? Remember the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. I don't know. Maybe Musa is of those people, because the Quran explicitly says, فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then Allah says, إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. There will be some people Allah has chosen, they will not fall unconscious. They will not fall completely without consciousness. Then Allah says, ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then it shall be blown again. Ukhra here means a second time. Then it shall be blown a second time. Ukhra means again. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will all be standing up looking what is going on. Can you see how explicit the verse is? وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِي أُخْرَى. It's in the same ayah. Surah Az-Zumar verse 68. So it's very clear therefore that there's going to be more than one. How many more than one? Here is where we find two opinions. The first opinion we'll mention is that there are three trumpets being, or three times the trumpet is blown. Three times the trumpet will be blown. And the second opinion, two times. This is the controversy. And again, in the end of the day, this is a controversy that doesn't have any tangible benefit, but it's just interesting to know. And we have plenty of time, so we will dive in deep, inshallah ta'ala, okay? So, three times. Who says that the trumpet will be blown three times? Many of our classical ulama, of them, Ibn al-Arabi, the Maliki scholar, Al-Qadi Iyad, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Kathir, Al-Alusi, the scholar of the last century, 150 years ago, Ash-Shawkani, and some have said the majority of ulama said there will be three times the trumpet will be blown. Three times. What is their evidence? Their primary evidence is a hadith we're going to come to in 5-10 minutes. But let's start off with the Quranic evidence that they present. The Quranic evidence is that there are three adjectives that are used in the Quran for the blowing of the trumpet. And therefore, they have derived that each of these adjectives indicates a different blowing of the trumpet. The first of them is nafkhatu al-faza', the blowing that shall frighten. And this is mentioned in Surah An-Naml, verse 87. Surah An-Naml, verse 87. وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. On the day the trumpet will be blown, everyone in the heavens and earth will be alarmed, shocked, frightened. This is faza'a. Faza'a means to be frightened because of something. So this is nafkhatu al-faza'. The second one, nafkhatu as-sa'iq. The nafkha of falling unconscious or dead, or basically, I mean, those that are alive will be dead. So sa'iq means you lose consciousness. So nafkhatu sa'iq. Where is nafkhatu sa'iq mentioned? I just quoted it 2 minutes ago. Surat Az-Zumar. Surat Az-Zumar. That Allah says that وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Explicit. And the third one is also mentioned in Zumar. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِي أُخْرَ فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ نَفْخَةُ الْقِيَامِ. So we have نَفْخَةُ الْفَزَعُ, نَفْخَةُ الصَّعِقُ, and نَفْخَةُ الْقِيَامِ. What this means, this group says, there will be a trumpet that will terrify all of mankind. Shortly after will be another trumpet that will kill all of mankind. Then there will be the third trumpet that will resurrect all of mankind. Okay, this is their ordering, 1, 2, and 3. And their main evidence for this is a very explicit hadith, which is found in one of the most tertiary works of hadith. When I say tertiary, what do I mean? I mean they're not the main, the ummahat, they're not the main books. The main books, you should know what they are. They are the kutub al-sitta, the 6 books of hadith, along with Musnad Imam Ahmad and the Muwatta of Imam Malik, and some have added the Sunan of Ad-Darimi and Ad-Darqutni. These are like the main books of hadith. But in that first 300-500 years, there were hundreds of people, hundreds, not dozens, who attempted to compile original hadith. And some of them were not very good at doing that, and they didn't really do their job properly, or they didn't care about who they're narrating from. So these are called the tertiary books. Generally speaking, you will find in them some interesting stuff, some authentic, and some very bizarre hadith, which are clearly not from the Prophet ﷺ, fabricated or very weak or not. And so one of these is a hadith, quote-unquote hadith, that is so long, it's literally, no exaggeration, 4 or 5 pages long. And it describes in vivid detail Judgment Day from beginning to end. In vivid detail. Then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to... And it's beautiful, because here you have a hadith that describes everything. But you see, when you come across such a hadith, automatically there should be alarm bells running. It's too good to be true, as they say. It's too much information, too much vivid detail. This appears to be of the folklore, of the genre of qassasun, those that would tell tales. But there are phrases in it that are authentic. And Ibn Kathir, in his book, Al-Bidayah, he mentions this whole hadith in its entirety. And then he says, this hadith is well known. In his time, everybody knew it. But it is very strange. Well known means it's always narrated. Well known does not mean it's authentic. This hadith is just like, I can say, seek knowledge even if you have to go to China. This is a well-known fabricated hadith. Our Prophet ﷺ never said it. This is complete fabrication. It's well-known as a fabrication. But it is well-known. People know it as a hadith, but it's not a hadith. So Ibn Kathir is saying, this is a well-known but very strange, غريب جداً. And here this means it's very weak. غريب جداً, even though there are phrases in it that are authentic, and then he goes on and he basically rejects it. In this hadith, it's very long, that the Prophet ﷺ allegedly said, there shall be وَيُنْفَخُ فِي ثَلَاثْ نَفَخَاتْ. It's explicit in this version. There shall be 3 blowings of the trumpet, the نَفْخَةُ الْفَزَعْ and the نَفْخَ of صَعِقْ and the نَفْخَ of قِيَامْ. It's literally listed out. And so based upon this, the people extracted and they said there are 3 nafkhas. And the other position is that there are only 2 nafkhas. There's only 2. And this group says the trumpet will be blown and the people who hear it will be terrified and then die. That's 1. So what they've done, they've taken 1 and 2 of the previous category and done what? Put it together. So the nafkhatul faza' and the nafkhatul sa'iq is the same. So maybe when you first hear the trumpet, you're terrified. By the time it's finished, you are not even there. Okay? So they combine the 2 together. And then they say the second one is the nafkhatul qiyam. And this is the position of Imam al-Qurtubi and before him al-Qushayri. And after him, Ibn Hajar. It also appears to be the position of Ibn Abbas and Qatada and Hassan al-Basri and many of the Tabi'un. And in my humble opinion, it is clearly the stronger position for many reasons. Of them is that there's nothing to prove the first opinion. Nothing. There's nothing explicit. And of them, there's plenty that indicates two and exactly two. Of them. So we're going to mention, if you bear with me, we'll mention this so that we move on, inshallah. Okay, because I don't want to come back to this. I will mention how many evidence. Today I compiled six evidences. These are six evidences we have. Okay, number one. The first evidence, which is the most explicit, who can tell me? Which verse in the Quran? Zumar, very good. Zumar is the most explicit. Because Allah says, then it shall be blown, ukhra, again. And you only say again, or you generally, as you say, when do you say again? Generally, it is to the second time. And then it stopped, that's it. Right? So, that's Surah Az-Zumar. The second evidence is Surah Yasin, which also mentions indirectly two. مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ They're only waiting for one loud shout while they're still arguing over it. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُنَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَى أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِعُونَ وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ لَرْبَمْ يَنْسِلُونَ Then the trumpet will be blown and they're going to be coming out of their graves. So notice Allah says, صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً Then Allah says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ Two. This is very, again, clear. Okay, and the second one is being resurrected. And the first one, Allah is saying, just wait until you hear that trumpet. This is about the death. Then the second one, the resurrection. It's pretty clear, Surah Yasin. The third evidence, Surah An-Nazi'at. Surah An-Nazi'at. يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الرَّاجِفَةِ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّادِفَةِ And rajifa and radifa are loud sounds, terrifying noises. So the day that the rajifa that terrifies you is going to be done, it shall be followed by tatba'uha, again, second time, ar-radifa. Ibn Abbas said that the first shall follow the second, ar-rajifa is the first trumpet being blown, and this ar-radifa is the second time the trumpet is blown. He explicitly said this. And Hassan al-Basri said that there are two nafqatans. The first one of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the living to die, and the second one, Allah will cause the dead to become alive. And he quoted this verse, يَوْمَ تَرْجُفَ الرَّاجِفَ تَتْبَعُهَا الرَّاجِفَ So this is the third evidence, Surah An-Nazi'at, that it seems very clear that it's going to be two. The fourth evidence is a hadith of the Prophet muttafaq alayhi Bukhari and Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that بَيْنَ النَّفْخَتَيْن أَرْبَعِين or Aba'un. Between the two blowings of the trumpet are 40. Between the two blowings are 40. 40 what? Abu Huraira was asked, 40 years, 40 days, 40 what? He said, I cannot answer, abate, I cannot answer, I don't know. I cannot say anything that I didn't hear the Prophet say. So we don't know 40 what? 40 stages of time. But that's not important for us. What's important for us for today's topic is how many times? بَيْنَ النَّفْخَتَيْنِ This is very explicit. Between the two trumpets is going to be 40 time frame. And the fifth evidence is a hadith in Sahih Muslim that I already mentioned the first part of it, that the trumpet will be blown, everyone will look at it, they will fall down unconscious, then Allah will send a rain, the body shall be resurrected, then the trumpet will be blown again, and they will stand up. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Once again, the trumpet will be blown, they will die, all the way to the end. The trumpet will be blown again, they will stand up. Once again, two. And the final evidence we will mention, in Abu Dawood, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jumu'ah is the best day of the week. By the way, Jumu'ah is the best day of the week. We always undervalue it and trivialize it. There are so many ahadith about the blessings of Jumu'ah and what happened on Jumu'ah. And every Jumu'ah is a mini Eid for us. Jumu'ah is a type of Eid for us. And we are supposed to dress up on the day of Jumu'ah. And we're supposed to do ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah. It is a very, very blessed day. And we take it for granted. There are so many ahadith about Jumu'ah is the best day of your week. And there are at least 10 different blessings mentioned on what happened on Jumu'ah. In this hadith, in Abu Dawood, the Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of Jumu'ah shall be the sa'iqah. And on the day of Jumu'ah shall be the nafkha. So he mentioned two, sa'iqa and nafkha. And sa'iqa, the one that shall cause you to go unconscious. Nafkha, nufiqa fi ukhra faydahum qiyamah. They're going to be standing up. So we know that Qiyamah will come on what day then? Friday. And the resurrection will also be on Friday. And once again, we have both of these things mentioned, that this will be done and that will be done. The final point that we'll mention, then inshallah we are done for today, that Allah says in the Quran, وَنُفِقَ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. There will be a group of people whom Allah will save from صَعِق. Who are they? Who can tell me? MashaAllah, our brothers on spot. Mikael, Jibreel, Israfil. And the Malakul Maut. MashaAllah. How do you know this?
Because there will be the last four people, and then he'll tell Malakul Maut, Iqbad Jibreel, and Iqbad Mikael, and Iqbad.
Jayyid. This understanding that the last four will be left, and then Allah will say, who's left these four? Then Allah will say to the Malakul Maut to get these three. Then Allah will say to the Malakul Maut, now it's your turn, I will take your ruh. This whole mythology is from that long hadith that I said is very weak. You understand why Ibn Kathir said, ishtuhira. This is exactly where this is from. This whole explicit detail is beautiful. It's graphic. It's beautiful. Maybe even next class I will mention. You know what? Let's do that. The next class I'll begin. I'll go over all four pages of this so that you know where this is sourced from. It's very important. Now, I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong, but we do not have any ilm from Allah or His Messenger about this. This is all found in this Tabarani hadith with a very bizarre matin and a weak, definitely a very weak chain. Okay, so this is there. So now I ask the question again. Illa man sha Allah. Who is the exception? Who is left? Huh? Musa? When the Prophet ﷺ is saying, I don't know, is Musa, and you already know? MashaAllah. Okay. The Prophet ﷺ is saying, La adri, is it Musa or not? And you're like, no, I know it's Musa, mashallah. Maybe our brother has ilm, yani that Israfil. So If I went over the opinions of the ulama, there could be half a dozen opinions. Ibn Hazm says most of the angels. Muqatil Ibn Sulaiman says Jibra'il, Mikael, Israfil. Okay, Ahmed Ibn Hanbal said that this is the creation of Allah in Jannah, like the Hurun Een. They will not, and the Ghilman, they will not die when the trumpet is blown. But in the end of the day, when the Prophet ﷺ is saying La Adri, I think we should also say La adri, we do not know. There will be some creation who will not fall unconscious and dead. Who they are? Malakul Maut, Israfil, Jibra'il, Mikael, Hurun Een, Allahu A'lam, we do not know. And frankly, it won't affect us who isn't, because we know that definitely we will be of those who are the two nafqas will apply to. And with that, inshallah, we open the floor for a few minutes of Q&A, inshallah. And there are also online questions, so I have to take into them as well. So Bismillah, let's go. Bismillah, yes.
Sa'aqa or sa'aqa in Arabic means lightning strike. So usually when a lightning strike, heaven could be lost consciousness and faza. So that will tell us there is two sa'aqa.
So you're saying that sa'aqa means
a combination
of sa'aqa. So this is exactly what the second opinion says, that Sa'iqa is always has an element of fright anyway. I mean, why do you fall down unconscious? You see something that frightens you. So this is a valid point as well. What is the wisdom behind the Quran and Sunnah always mentioning belief in Allah and the last day together? Actually, this is not true. Sometimes Qiyamah is mentioned by itself, and sometimes belief in Allah is mentioned by itself. Obviously, because there are six pillars of Iman, and usually Allah mentions two or three of them together. In the previous lecture, you mentioned that there will be a place where Yemen will have a fire. Would they hear the trumpet at that time? No. The fire from Yemen will gather the people in one area. Okay? When they will not hear the trumpet coming out of Yemen. Once they are gathered in this area, and amongst them will be zero Muslims, as we said when we talked about the signs of Judgment Day. This is many months ago and I did the signs of Judgment Day. All Muslims have left. We have to realize, I was going to talk about this the first of next week, the trumpet will not be heard by any Muslim. the first one. It will not be heard by any Muslim. No Muslim will be on earth to hear the trumpet. So the trumpet will be blown upon a group of people who don't believe in it, and that's why they're not expecting it. And that's why, despite all that has happened, and Dajjal coming, and Isa, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they still are denying. They still are in a state of there's not going to be Judgment Day, and so they don't believe in the trumpet in the first place. Okay, sisters, before we move on to back to the sisters, going once, going twice, back to the brothers. So our brother is optimistic, and he says, as long as there are Muslims, there was no Qiyamah going to come. And that is very true, alhamdulillah. I always like the fact he looks at the glass half empty, half full, mashallah. So as long as there's 1.5 billion people that are Muslims on earth saying the kalima, so make sure that more and more people say the kalima, alhamdulillah. But when the end of times come, then everything will change. Brother in the back, yes, bismillah. Yes. No, it implies when it shall be blown once. It does not say it shall only be blown once. So Allah is saying, in one of those two times, this is going to happen. Okay? So, and that's why, because it's in the Nakira, Siyagh al-Nakira, فَإِذَا نُفِخْزُ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. When it is blown once. When you say once, there is no negation of a possible second or third. So there's, that's why no scholar has ever said only one nafkha. Okay, yes, bismillah, go ahead. Yes. So again, this understanding is explicitly mentioned in that long hadith. The notion that Allah will say it and there shall be nobody to reply back to him is found in that hadith. The Quran mentions لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Okay? And that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. I'm just saying you should know what we say and the sources of what we say. Isn't you understand what I'm saying here, right? Okay. This is why Ibn Kathir said اُشْتُهِرَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Even I thought that this was a part of our theology, yaqeen. And then you study deeper and you do the deep dive and you realize, oh, okay, this is found here, this is found there. You know what? We will talk about this for sure. Now that all of this is happening, we'll do this. Yeah, bismillah. Yes, go ahead. Last question, then we'll call it an evening, inshallah.
Some people say that the Qiyamah is not predictable. But when you say that it's going to happen when all the Muslims will be dead and people will not know, so we can predict that it will be on Friday, it will be after a certain
while. When we say the Qiyamah is not predictable, what we mean is this ridiculous notion that every few years some cult comes and says, in the year, like I remember vividly, remember the Y2K? I was a young man back then, you know. Our youngsters were not even born back then. That's how old I am now. Remember the Y2K? The people thought literally Qiyamah is going to come in 2000. Okay, that's it. Everybody was literally dreading. People, our kids are shocked to hear this. People were stockpiling water, food. They duct taped their windows in the year 2000. They literally were sitting at home at midnight just doing their version of dhikr, you know, whatever it was, you know. They literally, this is going to be over because they thought the world is going to finish. Nothing happened. And there was a famous, you know, one of these extreme sects of Christianity, not mainstream, who predicted, I think, 2012 or something, that this is it. And then the Mayan calendar, they say, was the Mayan calendar year. I forgot. I keep on coming up there. In this particular year, the world will come, and it didn't end. This is what we mean. To say it's going to end on 23rd March in the year 2025, this is no. But to say it's going to come on a Friday, that's not an exact date. To say it's going to come when all the Muslims are gone, that's not an exact prediction. Inshallah, time is really late, so inshallah, we'll stop over here. We will come, inshallah, back next week. Inshallah, we'll come back next week, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.